Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you that you are King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords. Lord, there's a lot of things that we don't understand in life, but we know that in the end, all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, even the things that we don't understand, the things that seem to be bad, Lord, you're using them in our life to change us. And Lord, to bring good about. Thank you for the love that you have given to each one of us, that we might love one another. Lord, whether we're here, whether we're in Nicaragua, Lord, our prayers go out to that little girl. Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. And even now, Lord, I ask that you would anoint the hands of Glenn and Jenna, Lord, as they would lay their hands on that child. Lord, healing would, thank you, Jesus, healing would be imparted into that child. Lord, you're a miracle-working God. There's nothing that's impossible with you. And Lord, we know that wherever you were, and whoever you touched, Lord, you healed them. And Lord, you said you are with us. You have not forsaken us. And Lord, we know that you're there even now, Lord, in Nicaragua by your Spirit. Father, we ask, Lord, for your blessing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I feel his presence, I know he's here. When I feel his presence, I know he's working and moving. And I'm expecting to hear great things from Glenn and Jana as we join together in prayer. But we're living in a time of transition. Transition means it's the passing from one condition or place to another. And just recently, we were going through transition. Barb's father passed away. The reality of it is, for Barb, her brother, her sisters, they no longer have anyone older than them that they can look to in the family. Their mother, their father are gone. Now the responsibility of the family rests on us. She's the oldest of the children. So concerning Barb and I, my parents are gone. So concerning my children, my grandchildren, we are now at the top. There's a transition that took place, and it's the first time I ever experienced this. But Wes Clemmer, who was their pastor for 12 years, who his father taught me how to play the accordion, and we graduated from Christopher Dock together, he spoke. And at the funeral, he prayed for the blessing of the father on each of the children. As Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, it was transferred now to the children. We are in a time of transition here in the church. But there's other transitions. The transition of responsibility on our farm, or your business. There was a time we thought maybe it would be the farm, the cows and everything, there would be a transition from Arl and I to one of our sons or a couple of our sons. That never panned out. We still have a lot of the land, but we sold the cows, equipment. There's no dairy farmers in our family anymore. I have no idea how many generations of dairy farmers there were behind us. But it's a transition. The election of a new president to transition the country. The Pope. We have a new Pope. There's a transition taking place in the Catholic Church. And so it is in our church. We're going through a transition because we don't know how long I'm going to be around. Could be 5, 10, 20. I don't know. God hasn't spoken to me or Pastor Arlen. But we need to begin to prepare for the future. Amen? Jesus, when he was here, he knew that he was going to go to the Father. And for 3 years, he was preparing his disciples. He chose his 12 disciples. He began to prepare them for this change that was going to take place. He said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, one like me, to be with you. And that's what he says in John 14. I just want to read a couple of verses to you. Chapter 14, verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Then he says, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Chapter 6:15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also because you have been with me from the beginning. Verse 7 of chapter 16. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 13, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. God said he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. Without any help. He said he was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. Acts 1:5. Until you receive the promise from the Father, don't leave Jerusalem. And then verse 8 says, and after that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall receive power to be my witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. The Holy Spirit is coming to give us power. That's why I can believe that God, even as we pray here in Canton, Pennsylvania, that the Holy Spirit is at work down in Nicaragua with our brothers and sisters down there. He is all over. That's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. He's not just in me. He's in you. He is all over the world. The Holy Spirit is with people who love Jesus. And God wants that same power that Jesus had when he was here. That miracle working power. He delivered men, women from demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And I know you think, well, you just preached about that a couple weeks ago. Yes, I said these things. But there's more that I want to say. God is on the move. And he wants us to know that he has given the church power. He doesn't want us to be just a bunch of dead zombies going to church Sunday morning and then going home again and watching TV or having a picnic or whatever you want to do. A lot of people think, well, I've gone to church Sunday morning. I've done my duty. It's not a duty. It's something I live. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Mennonite church, and they're having their 250th anniversary. Praise God, the church is still going. And they taught salvation, but they didn't teach about the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I never heard anything about the gifts of the Spirit. Many churches today preach Jesus, but they don't believe in the laying on of hands and healing of the sick. Preachers don't believe in it. I don't know what happened over the years, but I know that I said, God, I need to know, are you real? You healed the sick in the Old Testament. Jesus healed the sick. I said, I need a miracle. You did miracles. I need a miracle. And I received the Holy Spirit. But when I heard about the Holy Spirit, I heard about tongues and all of that. And I remember in the barn one day, I said, God, I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want tongues. He says, you don't want tongues, you don't want the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, there's a lot of people have a hang up on tongues. I don't know, but back in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came on them, they all spake in tongues. Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. People are afraid to speak in tongues. They're afraid when somebody speaks in tongues. They get all uptight. Why? Because you haven't heard about it. You haven't experienced it. But God wants to do something in the church. He wants the same miracles that Jesus did now. And after the church was filled with the Holy Ghost back in the day of Pentecost, Remember right after that, Peter and John went out, and the lame man sitting there, he was there for 40-some years. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." Grabbed him by the hand, and the man got up, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Sometime later, Peter is in prison. They have already killed James. And the church began to pray fervently for Peter. And as they prayed fervently for Peter, there an angel of God came and opened the door supernaturally. And Peter walks out. He thought he was seeing a vision. But no, this was reality. He was going out. And he got to the house where they were praying. And Rhoda came to the door. And she thought it was a ghost. It wasn't Peter. And she'd never even invited him in. And Peter kept knocking. It's a little like Jesus knocking on your door. He wants to come in, but you won't open up because you can't believe it's God. God wants to do something in our life, church. He wants a transition, and he doesn't want us to go back to where we came from. Abraham said concerning Isaac to his servant, he said, "Go back to my family and find a wife for Isaac." Well, what if she doesn't come? Can I take him back? No, you cannot take him back. Too many people want to go back to where they were. There was a day I wanted to go back. Because if it's either go back or go forward, you can't stand still, church. We're going one way or we're going the other. One way or the other. And then there was Paul and Silas, beaten and thrown in jail. Not everybody believes the way I do, I guess. I was talking to a man of God that I respect. And when he reads the story about Paul and casting that demon out of that woman, he said, this guy told me, he said, Paul had no business doing that. That's why he got thrown in jail. I'm thinking, and I'm not going to tell you who it is because you know. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? That spirit was harassing him. Finally, he took authority over it. Get out. And so we all interpret things a little bit different. But I know that when they were thrown in jail, they began to praise God. And there was an earthquake. And the prison doors were open. Miracles, people. Miracles are happening in the old church back in the time of the New Testament. The same spirit that brought Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you. He will quicken your mortal body. He will raise us, bring us life. Where there's death, life is going to come back in us. Am I right? I was thinking about this, the transition from one to the next. And I thought of Elijah and Elisha. Turn with me to 2 Kings. I want you to see this. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to this to me when I was studying this. I was reminded of this transition. Verse 1, it says, "And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' He said, 'Yes, I know. Be still.' Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho." See, there's something here about Elisha. I'm not going to leave you. Even though Elijah, the man of God, says, "Stay here," he says, "I'm not leaving. I'm going with you." Little like Ruth and Naomi and Ruth's sister. Naomi says, "Stay here." Ruth says, "Wherever you go, I go. Your people will be my people." The other went back to her parents. And the sons of the prophets who were, verse 5, at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, struck the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. The Jordan River, a river of flowing water, again was parted. symbolic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Living water, flowing water, referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Elijah took his mantle and hit the waters parted. That's a miracle. You ever stop the water from flowing down a river? These are miracles that are real. I had a young man tell me in Sunday school years ago, he had gone to college and he'd come back from a Christian college. And he said in Sunday school class, he said, these stories in the Old Testament, they didn't really happen. They were there for illustrations. God help us. We're saying that God's word's not true. And so he parted the waters. The two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, he's gone all the way. And he said, what shall I do for you before I am taken from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it came about as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. He saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes. He tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. The same power that Elijah had, now Elisha has. And he asked for a double portion of it. And if you study the miracles that Elijah did and study the miracles that Elisha did, it is exactly twice as many recorded as Elijah did. Elijah said, if you see me going, you got it. You got it. You know who else saw somebody ascend? The disciples were there. And all of a sudden, he left. Now, the Spirit is coming on the church. It's coming on the church. And I don't care what you believe. Yes, things, seasons change. Back when I was growing up, the accordion was a big thing because you couldn't take a piano anywhere. They didn't have keyboards. So the accordion was great, and I learned to play one. But now when I get it out, a lot of the younger generation make fun of it. Do you think the same thing can happen in the spirit realm? People don't understand tongues, and they want nothing to do with it? I thank God that God said to me, if you don't want tongues, you don't want the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was just as clear as could be. There's other things that he said. Numbers chapter 14. When they were supposed to go into the promised land, and they saw the giants, 10 of them came back with a bad report. Said, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. If you think you're a grasshopper in somebody else's sight, it's because you think so. That's who you are. See, you're only as big as you feel inside. And I believe it's time that we know who we are in Christ. And we take our stand and not back down when somebody makes fun of us. Do you speak in tongues? Are you one of those tongue-speaking people? You know, I was at a service one time and this happened and that happened. And, you know, no. Praise God for the gifts of the Spirit. I long for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. I've been praying for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in the church. Not just the gift of healing. I hear people say, I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of faith. I want the gift of speaking in tongues. Well, why? Because I found out many years ago, 40 years ago or more, the more I prayed in tongues, the more I saw the miracle workings of God. Because when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. You have faith. You have confidence in what God is doing. And you don't care what somebody else says. There's power in praying in tongues. Why? Romans chapter 8, 26 says, I don't know how to pray as I ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession through the saints in the perfect will of God. I want to pray in the will of God. But when I'm praying in English, I'm praying selfish thoughts. Lord, strike them down. Lord, do this. But when I found out, the more I prayed in tongues, the more times I saw people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's about. It's not so that I can boast, I speak in tongues. No, that's not what it's about. I do that in my prayer life. But there is the gifts of the Spirit for the church. There's two different kinds. People don't understand that. Cloven hoof, split. There's one for your prayer life, one for the church that is manifest in the church, the tongues, and then the interpretation. You've got to have both, but you've got to pray in tongues in your prayer life. It builds you up. Ephesians. Well, let me finish what I was saying in Numbers, first of all. Verse 8 of Numbers 14 says, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. And God spoke to me and he said, you feared tongues, you didn't want tongues, but it has now become your food. The very thing that you fear, God wants it to become your strength. David, he wasn't afraid of the giant. Why? He killed the bear and he killed the lion. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would taunt the armies of the living God? There was nobody else that was willing to fight but little David come along, because he was just taking some food from his father to his brothers. And he hears this. He said, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? He's nothing but a little. He didn't see him as 9 feet, 6 inches tall. And David, 5.5 feet. I don't know how tall David was, but he wasn't real big. He wasn't afraid of that giant. Why? Because he had the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He was walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, verse 18. And this is after you put on all the armor of God. After you have done it all, then he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. Pray on my behalf. But when Paul says pray at all times in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, when I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding also. So when Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he's saying, pray in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in tongues. And people say, well, it's not for everybody. That's not for everybody. He's not talking to everybody when they read that scripture. See, we have ourselves talked out of it. We've allowed other people to talk us out of what God really has for us. We're afraid to go in and take what God has. We're afraid to be like Elisha said, I'm going with you. And when he got there, he says, I want a double portion. If Betty has one portion, I want a double portion of what Betty's got. That's the kind of an attitude that we've got to have. If they got the Holy Ghost, I want a double portion of what they got. Jude, but verse 20. Now, let me start with 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there shall be mockers falling after their own ungodly lusts. Be careful when people are mocking what God's doing. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. God is saying, church, there's transition is coming. And I like the transition that I saw in Arlen's brother-in-law, who he was the president of my class when I graduated from Christopher Dock. He came along up when we looked at the farm up here, He was with us. And soon after that, he bought a farm in Blair County. Now, we were doing great, but I don't know, how many did he have when he transferred to his son? He probably had about 130 cows. He gave it to his, he turned it over to his son. His son manages it now. I think they're milking 2,500 at this point. That's transition, the way God wants it. That's what we want. We can bring it this far, but God wants this thing to grow. He wants this thing to explode, but he wants us to move in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when we begin to water it down and begin to go by way of the world, I'm telling you, you're going to not only lose what you have, but you're going to lose everything. We got to know what God has placed inside of us. And I'm challenging the younger generation, because it's time the younger generation begins to take ownership. And I believe that God is looking for a man to replace me, or two men to replace Arlen and myself. Looking for somebody that is sold out like Elisha was. He's looking for a man. He called me out of the clear blue. I'm nothing but a dairy farmer. And I didn't do anything. We were sitting there in the living room, and the power of God came on me. I began to shake. And I said, Barb, I said, you need to pray for me. There was another lady there, and they began to pray. And I heard God say, I've called you in the ministry in complete peace. And then I began to think what it might mean. And then I began to shake again. I was going the wrong direction. And then I heard God say, I've called you as a pastor. And I said, God, you're going to have to do it, because I don't know how to do it. You're going to have to make it happen. But when I heard I've called you as a pastor, complete peace. And that was it. And I never told Barb, never told her what happened. And a couple, 2.5 years later, 3 years later, I don't know how long it was, God began to speak to Pastor Arlen. Prophetic word began to speak to me as I was studying my Sunday school lesson the same week about redigging the wells of our father Abraham. The enemy had come in and stuffed them up. And that's what I'm talking about. That can happen. But Isaac began to redig the wells, and there he found a well of flowing water, meaning the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants. He wants a church that will move in the power of the Spirit. That's what he wants. And I believe God's going to call somebody. There was a time that I thought maybe my son, maybe Arlen's son, but I don't want any of them unless God calls. Whoever God has to take over here after we're gone, I pray that it's a sovereign act of God. This is a Holy Ghost-filled church, and we want a church that is going to continue. Even as the Mennonite church is now celebrating 250 years, I don't think it'll be that long before Jesus comes back. But if it is, I pray that we leave a legacy, all of us. We're all part of this. And, you know, Arnold and I pastored, but I think of Jim and Carol and Dale and Murdy and Dale and Cheryl and many of you that have been with us from the beginning. It was a sovereign move of God. And I don't want to allow anything or anybody to quench the move of God. And if I've got to play the accordion again, I'll play the accordion again. Because you can laugh all you want if you get what I'm trying to say. Praise God. Isn't God good? Huh? Come on, are we fired up? You know, I wrote a couple notes here. I surrender my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. And then we sang, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Are we just singing it, or do we really mean it? Let the worshipers arise. The worshipers arise. Praise God.